Hello, the internet.
The or internet. Better,
internet, can I interest you in some jello pudding?
hey there, internet.
You say the internet, you sound like grandpa. It's, you know, like going to the Walmart. Going, I'm on the internet.
Pin interest. That's my mom and my mother-in-law both say pin interest. And it's just
pin interest.
Pin interest.
Oh, man.
Where Brita at?
Brita will not be joining us.
Is she on assignment?
No, she has a extreme. She's like, I got like a 7 a.m. physical therapy appointment.
Ooh.
Yeah, you got to sleep in for those.
And she is, I think she's already asleep. She.
So it's and by asleep, we mean past
scroll.
So let's introduce our special guest.
Okay. Special guest. Yeah, our special guest is, you may have heard of him.
He's famous on the internet.
He is famous somewhere. He's the proprietor of an NC gun blog. And the host of I'm going to get this all screwed up. The Gun Blog Variety Cast.
.com.
You are correct, sir.
Yes. The other podcast Weird Sluts around on.
When he cheats on us with.
That's right.
Bastard.
right. And I was listening to you guys 2 weeks ago and Weird lied.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, bastard.
I am totally going to rat him out, too.
Anyway, it is the famous Sean Sorrentino.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing
good. So we got two Ginzos on the show
Weird, we're outnumbered.
Forget only, about it.
Well, it's only really one and a half. I'm half Scottish.
I believe there were also Negroes for a while.
Oh, man.
There was definitely a whole lot of slave trade in Scotland as well. Scotland and Ireland.
Yep. Whole lot of that. So, among other things that we're going to talk about, the call-in number, 214-530-0036. Oh, you know what? I should probably start the phone.
You should probably play the music before we start having people. We can't have people calling in before the music.
Yeah, that won't happen. Anyway, our call-in topic is the social justice warrior death match. This is in honor of the thing that came up last week about the feminists declaring that I'm not even sure how to state it properly, but there was a big dust up between the feminists and the trannies because they felt the male transvestites were appropriating female.
No, not male transvestites. They were trans women.
Oh, okay. Trans women.
let's use the terminology correctly.
We're improperly appropriating their vaginas or something.
Why are you so normative, Alan?
Yeah, that's me. Oh, God. I'm going to play the music.
Down with the patriarchy.
All right. It is Thursday, February 12th, 2015. Hey, I did it twice in a row.
All right.
Episode 138. You know, if the patriarchy is so damn good, how come I'm not making more money?
Oh, by the way, I've got to say, I signed in a chat a little bit late. Radis's steel cage match
image
is fantastic. Got the clown and he got the goats. And he got the squirrel Alan. With the martini is outside, not inside.
You know who we need to get on?
What?
Because you know he's not doing anything. Brian Williams.
Oh.
Waka waka.
Oh shit. We have a caller already.
No way.
Yeah, wow, we do. This is area code 508. Hello.
Ha! Hey, it's the Arctic Elf.
Arctic Elf.
I know that dude.
I know that dude.
All right. Let me turn up your volume a little bit.
How's that?
That's better.
So I want to see true believers And I can't decide whether it's better to see true believers versus people who are right or the party apparatchik.
Oh, you're talking about progressive true believers. I was going to ask you to clarify your flavor of true believer, but you're talking about progressives, right?
Well, progressive social justice warriors. I'm not. There's a difference, but I'm not sure that it's really that important.
So you're talking about in what is it the Pornell's Iron Law bureaucracy? You're talking about the people that are believe in the cause versus people that believe in the organization.
Right. I mean, Breida, I don't know. Back when Breida had a blog, she linked to a video, some interview that a KGB defector did, saying, look, all those liberal, academic, useful idiots are going to be first up against the wall because we have no more use for them than the capitalists did.
Sure.
You know, they have no place in the New World Order. The people like, well, he didn't say it, but basically Hillary Clinton, who will do whatever is expedient to consolidate their power. Those are the people who have a place in the New World Order. And the most dangerous people out there are the true believers once they realize they have no place in the New World Order.
That could be interesting.
I
let them duke it out.
Yeah, yeah. I'd pay to see that one.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, both sides can't win. Or both sides can't lose.
Well, if you don't let them out, they're gonna. Somebody's gonna lose.
There's enough napalm.
Yeah. the winner gets to starve to death in the steel cage.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Beard, Jay, can either of you point to an example in history where that has actually happened?
What? Starved in the cage? Where,
yeah.
Using enough napalm? Well, we tried.
Well, no, I mean, there are definitely examples where people who were right shot both groups, but I can't think of any examples where the true believers and the apparatchiks fought with each other and they both lost.
The Soviet Union. It just took a lot longer.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess
that's the GOP.
I mean, but in the end, you know, Putin is the head of Russia now, and he's... You know, a Soviet loyalist KGB guy. So,
but was he really a Soviet loyalist? I don't know what his. I mean, I know he was a light colonel in the KGB, but I don't know what his. That's what the limit of what I know.
Wasn't
about
he the head of the KGB?
I don't know
if he was the head. Well, the thing you got to remember about the Soviet Union is they had that the collapse happened so quickly because everybody was just pretending.
Right, for so long.
Yeah, they were pretending because they thought everybody else was a communist, so they played along. And then at some point, everybody realized, hey, everybody's just playing along like me. Screw this shit.
Well, have you, Alan, read the Gulag Archipelago?
No, I have not.
If you should, I took that up on Joe Hoffman's recommendation, and. Get the audiobook, listen to it over a course of a year because it's too depressing to go through all three volumes all at once. But it's educational.
I don't like educational.
Yeah.
Does it I like sex ain't and get violence.
Paid. It ain't being educational.
Does it have fart jokes in it? Because, you know.
So weird. Listen to the first half hour of each of the three books and you basically got it.
Okay. Cool.
And the other thing I had is weird. You're completely wrong.
Wow. Okay.
Well, that won't be a first.
About what?
Martinis. They should be shaken.
Oh God.
Oh no, no, no.
All right. Sounds like
we Arctic Elf and I have had this battle before.
We've got another death match on our hands here.
Yeah.
the shaken versus stirred.
And see, this strikes me as the same argument as dog turds. Should you lick them or just bite them?
Oh, that is so true. Because martinis are nasty no matter how you make them.
No, if it's either a martini or a Manhattan, it should be shaken. If it's got more than like 10% vermouth, and if it's got less than 10% vermouth, it's not a martini or a Manhattan. It's freaking booze on ice. Just get rid of the olive and suck it up. Admit that you want a pint glass full of booze. But if you're going to put vermouth or other stuff in your gin or your whiskey, it should be shaken.
See, well, I'm not going to go straight ahead and say that you're absolutely positively ruining the experience on it. I used to be a little bit more hardline on it, and I do occasionally shake a Manhattan because I actually do kind of like that. But it's an entirely different experience between a shaken and a stirred martini. And
you are absolutely right. A shaken martini is a thing of brilliance, and a stirred martini is like kissing your sister.
Yeah,
I mean, it might work, but it's still not right.
Just saying.
Hey, thanks for calling, Arctic Elf. We actually have callers stacked up behind you.
All right. Bye. Jay, I'll see you next week.
All right. See ya.
Also, for those listening at home, Arctic Elf is wrong.
Completely.
After you've hung up on him.
Completely wrong.
I took the coward's way.
There you go. Hey, it's your mic. This is area code 817. Hello. Hello.
Caller, you're on the air.
Gotta hit my mute button.
There you go.
Hey, my name is Rick Mance, and I thought I'd just wait around until you got to talk about the Alan Goodge case.
Well, since you called, let's talk about it.
Here we go.
Okay. Well, I was the plaintiff in this case.
Oh,
and,
holy shit.
Received the interesting news this week of the victory.
Yes.
And looked like the start of a long haul. And a lot of discussion going around the web of the implications, what it means, what it doesn't mean. And I just thought I'd get your impression of what the impact may be.
So, wait a minute. You're actually a plaintiff on the case.
I'm the Mance in Mance versus Holder.
Holy crap. Oh, well.
Yes, okay. That was me going, holy shit, earlier.
Yeah.
Wow, because I've been reading. Yeah, I've been reading about that for 2 days now. And I'm
okay,
not...
is this the point where we go, we're not worthy?
Yeah.
We're not worthy.
No, don't do that.
Or do we only do that for Alan Gura?
I'm just very impressed, but I've also gotten drunk with Alan Gura, so.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not a lawyer, but I've shaken Alan Gura's hand and had my picture taken with him. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I actually invited Alan up to the Gun Blogger Rendezvous a couple years ago. That's how I met him. That annual get-together we have for the last 10 years up in Reno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody really understands, but becoming a plaintiff for a case like that is actually not easy, because Alan Gura, he complains about some of the raving jackasses that he has to deal with. They're like, I'm going to sue and you need to help me. He's like, who the hell are you? And why would I want to put you in front of a jury put you in front of a judge? You look like a freaking idiot. And finding the right person that isn't going to move, get too old to be, you know, the guy in Texas who was too old to be a plaintiff anymore, or is just so difficult to handle as a person, is incredibly difficult. And it's, you know, I understand that the lawyer did all the work, but you had to be the sort of person that he was willing to stand next to and have a judge look at. And that's not easy.
Well, it wasn't a challenge for me. I mean, obviously, I haven't borne the brunt of all the publicity and whatnot that may come if this goes to the Fifth Circuit and goes to the Supreme Court. It was more of actually just being in the right place at the right time with the right situation. You know, Alan takes a hard look at what kind of cases that would be likely wins. He doesn't go after losing cases.
He doesn't lose.
Well, he has a strategy.
Yeah,
he has a long-term strategy of things that here's the different things that are important, and these are the places that it makes sense to fight those. And because he fought a case for Grassroots North Carolina, or at least our sister organization. What was it? I can't remember the name of it, but our sister organization is the legal challenge bunch, and he did a case for us on that overturned the state of emergency. You know, if the state of emergency in North Carolina, everybody was banned from having a firearm outside their house. Well, he fought that case, but it was very difficult to find the right plaintiffs for that. Because, you know, you just don't go troll the street and say, you look like a decent plaintiff, we'll pull you in.
But, yeah.
Well, he picked carefully. And he's been successful at it. I guess he's got a track record, and he certainly is building on it.
Yeah, so go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I was just reading through a long post at Legal Insurrection that went like stage by stage, the levels of scrutiny, the arguments on either side. And if you haven't read that yet, go check it out, legalinsurrection.com.
Oh, yeah, I read them all the time.
It's Andrew Branca's write-up.
If Andrew Branca wrote it.
Well, since you called in and asked what our opinion was, I will tell you. My opinion is that ever since Heller and McDonald, the rest of the gun control edifice is really just a matter of time and slogging through the case on a logical basis. Almost all of it doesn't stand up to the level of scrutiny that is required by Heller and McDonald. And I think this case proves it. I mean, the judge picked strict scrutiny as the standard. Now, obviously, it's going to get appealed. I mean, and it's going to, you know, it's going to take, you know, it, this is just the beginning of a long run. But, you know, unless the makeup of the Supreme Court changes drastically, in my opinion, I think the whole, you know, most of the, you know, GCA 1968 and a lot of the NFA 1934 is going to go away. Just in the face of the logic behind the strict scrutiny and Heller and McDonald.
Well, let's hope so. Keep chipping away at it.
Well, I think that's the plan. You know, I mean, he's, you know, the strategy is, you know, is a good one. I think it's, you know, take the cases you can win, take the cases with good plaintiffs. You know, we're not talking about, you know, some dude who got caught with a gat in a crack den, trying to stand on his Second Amendment rights. These are people that are forcing the legal system to take notice of the logical inconsistencies in their mm-hmm. law.
Yeah. That's it. Chip holes in places that, I've said for a long time that the gun control has depended on their ability to control enough of DC to make it look like there was a lot of them. They're like, you know, the 300, you know, they found the one place where they could stand against the entire Persian army. If they'd have stood out in the middle of the plain, it'd have got run over in 10 minutes flat. But they found a spot. Well, that's what the gun control people have done. They've stood in D.C. They've got the media to make the, you know, megaphone for them to make them look bigger than they are. But the minute they get out and have to fight in all 50 states, the minute they have to actually fight in court, there's just not enough of them. They don't have the money. They don't have the time. And they absolutely don't have the arguments to prevail.
Well, also, especially with this case, I mean, it's one of those. They're currently hawking about, oh, we got to have background checks, background checks, background checks. And that's exactly what this ruling is saying, is just saying, yeah, if you get a background check, you can have a gun. Oh, but it's not in the same state. Well, who cares?
You're still the same
person. Well, that was one of the sweet ironies that you or Branca pointed out was the fact that we used the Brady bill as justification that it does not serve a government interest anymore to restrict it to the states. So basically using their ammo against them.
Yeah, and really the only big argument against it is places like my home state of Massachusetts, where they don't want me to go out of state to buy handguns because they strictly limit the handguns I can buy in state, but yet neighboring states don't have to deal with that. So technically speaking, I could go into a neighboring state and buy a gun. Or actually, what actually I got thinking about is I still haven't figured out the actual logistics of it. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but I was going to inherit a revolver when my father-in-law passed away. But I also told him, if you ever want to sell it, don't you dare let that gun get away, because I want it. And I'm pretty sure I can get into the state of Massachusetts, but it's a little bit dodgy. And, he wants to sell it and upgrade, and I want to keep it. And ideally, I would love to be able to go down. He's living in Florida, go down into Florida and, walk with him into an FFL and do the transfer and pack it in my bag and, check it in the airplane and fly home with it. But that's not how it works right now.
Well, what's really going to happen is,
well, one of the things
you're going to have it shipped to an FFL.
An FFL would have to really be sure that the buyer is qualified to have that in his home state. That's what we did in Washington, D.C. The Hansons came in. There was a list of approved firearms that were legal to own in Washington, D.C. I made sure that the two items I showed them were in stock. They were, in fact, on the list and legal and approved. They also brought with them their sheriff's department has a certification that has to be approved in advance before the transfer is made. We recorded that information and the serial numbers and all that paperwork. So basically, even though I'm in Texas, I was complying with all the applicable laws in Washington, D.C., just like I have to do when I sell firearms to California, or handguns particularly. I'm registered as an importer to California. I have to describe and get a pre-authorization to ship any handgun into the state of California, and the Attorney General's office verifies that that's one of the approved items on their list. And it comes back, they give me a unique number that I have to send to the FFL in California to complete that sale. So the basic rule is, with regard to states and out-of-state purchases, it does not relieve a seller, be in Texas, for example, from complying with any of the applicable laws in the selling location or the buyer's location either.
Well, again, continuing on with my story in Massachusetts, I own several, and I'm perfectly comfortable stating this for everyone to hear. I own several off-roster handguns in the state of Massachusetts, and it is 100% legal for me to have them. I have them in full compliance with Massachusetts law. The issue is, would an FFL directly sell those to me? No, they could not. It's just – it is an in-state FFL is not allowed to sell those to me.
And nor could I. If they were not on the roster, I would not – it would not be legal for me to sell them to you from out of state either.
Yes.
Well, here's the funny part about Massachusetts, though. It's a Consumer Protection Act. It's not legal. It's not that it's illegal for you to sell an off-roster gun. It's that they could fine you. Well, good luck being an FFL in Texas getting fined by the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's unique. I mean, Sebastian over at Walls of the City actually does a very good job at detailing, because he actually talks specifically, because Bitter used to be a resident of Massachusetts, and talking about the Massachusetts state law implication. It's one of those, and he says, yeah, I mean, once it applies to the state of Massachusetts, which it does not currently, it absolutely would be legal and kosher per the ruling.
Yeah, I think that, well, obviously there's a lot of gray that needs to be slogged through, and a lot of that slogging is going to be in court with lawyers and stuff. And, states like California and Massachusetts are not going to give up gracefully on this.
Oh, no. Neither has DC, as we have seen from all the court cases they have lost and yet do not comply with.
Right. But, you know, kudos to you for I don't know, standing up. I mean, I don't, you know, however it happened. I mean, I think it's great that we can find people willing to, you know, it's not easy ever, I think, to put yourself in the crosshairs of the federal government for.
Well, probably not.
For anything.
Yeah, I may be older, but not necessarily wiser in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty intimidating to see the actual title of the suit, Mance versus Holder and Old Time.
Yeah.
You know, an FFL suing the head of the ATF. Now, how smart is that?
It's probably everybody's secret fantasy, you know, to do that. That's amazing. What do you think about it? What is your opinion? You probably have, you know, I mean, you know what you can talk about and stuff, obviously. You've seen it from the inside. So what do you expect to happen with all this?
Well, I expect it to a stay of the injunction to be requested. I expect it to go to appeal in the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans. If it survives or triumphs in New Orleans, there may be another round of appeals, and it could go to the Supreme Court. Or FFLs may just find that there's a letter issued by the ATF that says, in compliance with this court order, we're now revising our standards, and here's the rules for dealers. I doubt that's going to happen.
But, yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
No. It's probably going to be appealed, and maybe multiple appeals. And now this could be a 10-year process.
Well, I hope
don't not. Hold your breath for that period of time, anyway.
Yeah, it took us a lot longer than 10 years to get where we are, so that's not unreasonable.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. How long did all the First Amendment cases take?
Oh, yeah, decades.
Yeah.
Well, I think another aspect that the judge brought into this case in his ruling was not only is it a Second Amendment consideration, but there's Fifth Amendment due process considerations as well. In other words, not applying the law equally to different people in different regions.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Anyway, plus, there's also the
Bronk's article.
I mean, there's even a little bit of incongruity to it in the fact that, you know, I can go up to the state of Maine and buy myself an AR-15, you know, with a, you know, 30-round magazine and et cetera, et cetera. And that's 100% legal, and it's all on me to follow the law. Is no, I can't bring that gun back in to the state of Massachusetts because that itself would be a crime. But you know, but all of a sudden when it comes to handguns, all of a sudden now it's in the hands of the dealers, and that seems unreasonable.
Yep. Well, that was one of the points in the case. Is that, you know, why should something with an 18-inch barrel be different than something with a 4.5-inch barrel? In the eyes of the law, that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, good talking to you.
Oh.
I'm going to bow out. Keep up the good work and hit my blog over at Traction Control.
Oh, we will. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all have a great evening.
Holy smokes.
Oh, wait, that was Traction Control.
Yeah, I never knew his real name.
Yeah, is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, yeah, I could tell you that one of my off-roster firearms came from your dealership.
Okay, good. Well, I don't need to know that, do I?
Well, you don't need to know that. But again, I am in full compliance with the laws. It was bought by a citizen of the state of Texas as they were leaving the state of Texas. And it is an absolutely
cool,
beautiful
small
gun.
World, eh?
Yeah. So you know you have good product and you have good prices. So yeah, hit up his dealership because it's awesome.
Absolutely. Oh well. All right. Well, thanks for calling. We'll
hey,
put a link.
Hey,
have to
a great
you.
Night.
All right. Bye. Damn.
Holy crap. Small
world. I thought I was the special guest. I guess not. I'm just an also-ran at this point.
Oh, man. I feel like we're like skirting dangerously into real news territory here.
I'm having heart palpitations.
What the hell happened to Drunken Stupidity?
I know. Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, we got more calls.
It's fart jokes for the remaining half hour.
Yeah, I know.
We're done. That's the end of the show. How are we going to top that?
I don't know. Oh, man. Okay. Well, if anybody...
Back to social justice, your death match.
Yeah, if anybody...
Alan, who's your pairing?
Wait a minute. We got a call. It's,
we have more callers.
Yeah, if anybody can top it, it's your buddy, the gun enthusiast.
Hey, oh,
I know
how you
that,
doing?
Dude.
What a caller to follow, huh?
Yeah, yeah, really. So I'm going straight back to Celebrity Deathmatch.
Good. Thank you. Save us.
Okay. Here's my deathmatch. In this corner will be vegan cat owners, and in the other corner is PETA fur protesters.
Ooh. Wait, do the vegan cat owners feed their cats meat?
Technically, they would have to. They're obligatory carnivores. It'll kill them very quickly.
I know, yeah.
It doesn't stop them.
Yeah, that brings up all sorts of secondary issues.
I have absolutely read stories of people feeding their cats a vegan diet, and cats die a horrible death.
And yeah, they're like, oh,
I agree.
Fluffy died. I don't know why. Yeah, not a good subject.
Hey, I've heard people like do that to their children.
Oh yeah, and even worse, they do it. They do the strict vegan where it's not even like milk and cheese and stuff that you know kids desperately need.
I don't need anything that casts a shadow.
Yeah,
what?
Nothing with a face.
Eat air. That's right. What do they call those? The people that eat the air that's supposed to live off the sunlight and air.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's what
dead. Yeah. Cheaters.
Yeah. Strict vegans don't even eat honey.
That's right. Cause it's stolen from the bees, man.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I never thought about the honey issue.
99% of the bees have 1% of the honey, man.
Right. We're stealing it from them. Yeah.
I had a great
discussion. I know you guys have got callers stacked up.
We do,
stuff,
actually.
So I won't take more time.
Yep. All right.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling.
Good show. Talk to you later.
Thanks, sir. Bye.
My social justice warrior. Actually, I had a couple. Let's start with the an easy one. The anti-vaxxers versus the immigrants. Illegal.
Illegal immigrants. The ones that need to be vaccinated against.
Yeah. The ones that bring in the stuff across the border like crazy.
The Hanta virus.
Yes.
And what was the other one? Parvo? Something like that.
Yeah. They have all kinds of weird fevers and stuff coming up.
Even when it was the bears, I knew it was the immigrants.
they got the chicken sick.
Yeah. So,
bird flu.
That would be my good. Just because the anti-vaxxers are just so mind-numbingly stupid.
Anti-vaxxers need to be herded into social justice warrior dome and just left there.
Yeah.
Just shut the door and walk away. And maybe napalm. Yeah, definitely napalm.
Yeah, I don't get it. Anyway, that was mine. Anyone else want to take a crack at it?
I'll take a crack at it.
Okay, go ahead, Weird.
I was actually completely remiss because I'm in a state of seasonal depression that involves with the fact that I don't know how the hell I can get to work and or get home to pick up my baby from daycare because, hey, the trains don't run.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Mass transit. It's the way to go.
Yeah, the trains don't run, and I haven't even – well, I mean, I haven't considered driving in because
you can't find your car, can you?
Well, I can because
it's
I'm
buried under 18 feet of snow.
My work has a very, very nice parking garage. The only problem is that I can, you know, I can either pay for a T-pass at a discount or pay for parking at a discount, or I could also pay for both. But I would, again, it's money coming out of my pocket either way. Right. And so I don't have a parking pass because I ain't driving in. And yet if I, you know, on the few occasions where I do drive in, if I'm only going to be working like a couple hours because I'm stuck in traffic and then I need to get home to get my baby, I'm going to end up working for free. And so because it's just – it's been a nightmare. But carrying on from that, woe is me. But I hadn't really thought – I hadn't had a chance to thought about that. I actually forgotten about the topic until like a few hours before the show. Just before I realized – just before the show came on, I realized that this is the week the 50 Shades of Grey comes out. And I've been hearing about this, I mean, ever since the book came out. But so my death match is the super ultra sex positive – group in one corner where, yeah, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're, you know, banging children or eating poop on one side, it's all good. Whatever floats your boat, versus the BDSM people that say, no, that's not an accurate representation of the BDSM lifestyle.
Oh man. Yeah. I expect a lot of that.
Well, it really isn't.
No, it really, that's what's funny is it isn't,
no, really.
But if you spend any time on Tumblr at all, I expect to see epic screeds going into minute detail on, I mean, just don't even get me started. I think one of the
technically the 44 Magnum wasn't the most powerful handgun at the time.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. You think of the think of the nerdiest, inner nerdiest.
How is it that people manage to take sex and make it fucking boring?
It's like the
boring.
It's like
you're
the,
boring me.
It's like the anti rule 34.
Seriously. If there's sex, there's somebody making it suck.
Yeah, exactly.
And not in a good way. That's what pisses me off about these assholes who talk about, yes, we're in a plural relationship, and it's not the crazy wild sex that you think it's about. There's actually a whole lot of holy shit. How do you turn a threesome into fucking boring?
Yeah,
you are not making me. Come on now. You were totally not making me want to join you in this.
Yeah, you turned a three-way into a contractual negotiation.
Yeah. Fuck no. It's like, yeah, it's contracts 101. Thanks a lot, asshole.
Please sign this in triplicate before penis may enter vagina. Yeah.
Porn for lawyers.
Seriously, how am I going to talk my wife into something like that if you guys are making it so fucking boring?
We have a negotiated partnership, actually.
Oh, I'm going to get stabbed in the freaking eye because...
Party of the first part agrees to let party of the second part touch the
foot. Party of the third part in party of the second part.
Yeah. Sean, if you want, I could talk to your wife.
Yeah. No, please don't. We'll both get stabbed.
Oh,
but seriously,
man.
What is the matter with these idiots? Like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's really like normal. And oh, my God. How do you make it that boring? Like this guy's like, he's got two wives. He's banging two chicks. That should be exciting. It isn't. Not the way he describes it. I'm like, holy crap, that's how you ended up with it. You were so freaking boring that she needed another girlfriend. She already had one and it wasn't enough.
Oh, man.
God, I hate those people.
Thank God we've recovered from that almost newsworthy call.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm most of the way through this hard cider mixed with caramel vodka. So,
oh, awesome.
You got me started.
That sounds good.
Oh, Jesus. You've gotten into that shit again, Sean?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the last time I will do that when I am doing an interview with you, Weird. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you were drinking and talking to Weird at the same time?
Well, and see, that's not a problem. See, I'm drinking and I'm talking to Weird now. That's not a problem. The problem is when I'm running the segment for my podcast,
you're right back.
I have to be sort of in control of what's going on. And there's a lot of things to think about. I don't have to do that here. All I have to do is react to what comes at me. That's so true. I can be drunk, and that's okay.
That actually makes it better.
Yeah, it does.
We encourage it.
Yeah, seriously, am I supposed to, you know, how am I supposed to, keep the topic on track when you know, Weird's got 5 to 7 minutes to talk about what he's going to talk about. And if I don't know what the heck's going on because I've been, you know, a little bit too far into the cup there, hey, here we are 12 and a half minutes in, and I'm like, now how the hell am I going to edit this?
Yeah, that's why I stopped editing things. It takes too damn long.
Oh, by the way, Sean, my wife greatly appreciates your reference to me as being Gonzo with something to say.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take another call. This is, I believe it's MDev. Hello, MDev.
Hello, Squirrel Report.
All right.
I almost missed MDev. Wow, that sucks.
You startled me because I was like, I was shocked by the celebrity you had on, and then I was being selfish, and I was like, man, the one time I call in, I get one up, really two up. Sean is here too. I mean, I was about ready just to hang it up and say, you know what.
Rage quit.
I'll catch you on the flip side.
Rage quit.
Yeah. I'm going to rage. I demand a full and complete refund, but I want it all taken out of Weird's cut of the podcast.
Are you going to drop the mic and walk off?
Yeah, something like that.
Complete refund taken out of my cut of this podcast. Done and done, buddy. I'm going to send you 3 times that amount.
Call Kanye.
I don't have a
I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, I love the comment. I love the Kanye comment. Did you read the Kanye comment? He's like, some dude's like, some guy's like, told a nigga who plays 14 instruments and he needs to respect the artistry of a woman who takes 4 people to write a song.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was great.
Nice. Probably
the only time in his life that Beck has been referred to as a nigga.
I don't have a great social justice death match, but I do have one, even though I think I slightly misunderstood the topic, judging by everybody else's.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're listening.
Lay it on us.
I would pay money to watch Joan Peterson in a ring against Geraldo Rivera.
Wouldn't that be kind of like watching a drunken monkey try to screw a basketball with a banana?
Oh, come on. You'd watch that.
I mean, it'd be like nobody really knows what they're doing, and the one who is doing something is trying to do something with something that he'd rather do something else with it. Like he'd rather eat the banana, but he's trying to use it as a sex toy.
The good news is they would both explain to you that they were right.
50 Shades of Monkey.
Shit over the board, knock all the stuff down, and strut off. It's like a pigeon playing chess.
All right.
The nice thing about it is Geraldo would be shirtless.
Go ahead, let him Dev talk. Go ahead, him Dev.
With his red rose colored glasses. So, real quick, I have to make a call back to a. I don't know what I want to call it. It wasn't really a meme, but one of these things that goes around the gun blogs where everybody has to, you know, write the same article with their own spin. The echo chamber. Remember, like 2 years ago, we all wrote deep, heartfelt letters to our first car.
Yes.
Does anybody remember that? Okay. So this past week, I sold my first car.
What was it?
It was a 2002 Chevy Blazer.
Your first car was a 2002?
That's so cute.
Yes.
Yes.
How old are you?
I am 27.
Oh, man.
Okay, I did not realize MDev was younger than me.
Yeah, my first car was a 67 Chevy, and it was... Or excuse me, I'm sorry, a 67 Mustang, and it was, wow, I have been drinking.
67 Chevy Mustang.
No, it's the 1967 Mustang, and I was in college at the time.
My first car could have kids now.
Also in, I was also in college when I bought my blazer. I bought it in 2006 with 50,000 miles and sold it with 225,000.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what the funny part is? Worth
what?
My first vehicle was a 1985 GMC Jimmy, which was the counterpart to the Blazer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
that's funny. Mine was considerably older because, well, so was I.
Alan's first car was a Stanley Steamer.
Actually, yeah. my first car was a horse.
Let's be honest. It was a horse named Bessie.
My first car was my grandfather's 1974 Buick LeSabre.
Nice.
Yep.
It'd be the first on the block to have a car the size of your block.
That's right.
I think I drove a Buick LeSabre back from Florida while I was in the Army.
Well, this one was huge.
It was a grandma car with the blue velour seats.
It had a 350 V8 in it, and it was not enough to give it any acceleration whatsoever.
Oh, wow. Did it have blue velour seats?
No, it was beige.
Oh.
My grandmother, the first car that I can remember her having was a 76 LeSabre.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a grand
which I think car. Is actually the same generation.
Yep. One of my girlfriends traded in her car the size of a block, the Pontiac Safari Wagon. with a V7. it had an extra cylinder, yep. But that was all for decoration. but she traded in for like a 90 something LeSabre.
Was the same generation.
Thanks for calling, MDev. We got some more callers. MDev. Man, this is like the caller palooza.
You people need to start taking two and three at a time.
We already discussed that.
Mention that we're on Stitcher. Yeah. Go to Stitcher. Do whatever it is you need to do to access Score Report there.
Yeah, that's right.
Stitcher.
We're on Stitcher. We don't mention that enough.
There. I mentioned it.
I haven't even checked the stats. I don't know how many.
Done my due diligence.
You can also find the Gun Blog Variety Cast on Stitcher.
That's right.
We do need to cover that. This is for Brita, if she ever listens. This is how Weird lied to Brita.
Oh dear.
Yes. Yeah, Brita asked Weird, she says, Weird, while you're on the Gun Blog Variety Cast, do you plug the Squirrel Report? And Weird says, oh, yes, Brita, of course I do. And that was a lie.
Oh, no.
No, that is terrible. It's a terrible lie. It's not even close to the truth.
To be fair, Sean, before you get into the depths of my lie, I was actually responding to all the other podcasts that I do, and there are only two that are steady gigs, but there are several others that I am frequent gigs on.
Yeah. In any case, the reason that he doesn't is he only has, like I said, 5 to 7 minutes to make his point. Right. And after he gets done, when we go back to the main podcast, I always say, in addition to appearing here, Weird is a regular host at the Squirrel Report and blogs at weirdworld.com. That's weerdworld.com.
All right, now I'm kind of sketched out because I always assumed that was a bumper that you had pre-recorded. Is that is that fresh every time?
That's fresh every time.
Wow. Jesus Christ, it sounds identical even when you're drunk.
It's because I'm that fucking good.
He said it 26 times. He's, you know, come on.
Oh, no, I've said it a lot more times than that. I screw it up once in a while. I just edit those out.
Take 27.
Yeah. I've got it written down in the show notes.
Cool. So, yeah, actually, you know what? We should talk about that. But first, we'll talk about that in a minute. First, we've got another caller.
Yeah, let's take
guys. Yeah, nobody wants to hear Sean. We don't want to hear that special guest. Shut the fuck up.
We need to reward callers.
Area code 270. Hello.
Good morning, Alan. How are you doing today?
Oh, it's the other Sean.
Yes, the good-looking one.
Yes.
Yeah, Sean D. Connery.
It's Sean D.
Go ahead, Sean.
So, I heard you lads were discussing some sort of immortal death match between social justice types.
Yes.
There can only be one.
Now, this one, Now, there are so many that I would like to see, but right now, it's actually between two. In one corner, we have a tubby, lying son of a bitch by the name of Michael Moore. And on the other side, we have a rampaging Klingon bimbo named Michelle Obama.
And when did Sean Connery start?
She will look upon. She will look upon Michael Moore and be all like, "You're eating too much. We must change school lunches." And Michael Moore will be like, make some sort of fat piggy noise, I suppose. That's a squeal. I don't know. I don't talk to him. He's a moron. I mean, he looks like a bunch of... It's like you would think of...
Go ahead,
you think a tribe of Allens would spit him and cook him over a fire.
Yeah, no, I want to see that. Desperately.
It would have to be a very large fire out of necessity.
Indeed, and also you need to step well back. Once that fat hits the flames, it'll go off like a nuclear weapon. My God, it would smell like bacon for seven continents.
It'd be the first time fire melted steel.
We would actually move the planet back or forward and make global warming a real thing.
Hey, we could use a little global warming.
I could use a lot of global warming.
Holy crap, if you ever get that dude on fire, you will warm the globe.
No kidding. There's enough fat on there to burn. You know how they got those coal seams down underground in Virginia that have been on fire for like
Pennsylvania is actually on fire.
Yeah, for like 50 years they've been burning. I think that's Michael Moore would be like that. It just burn and burn and burn forever.
Oh, all I need is one day where it's above freezing just to thaw out the tracks a little bit so maybe the trains will run, but they probably won't.
Hey.
You can rub Michael Moore on.
Yeah, that'll grease him up.
Of course, good luck ever stopping again. We're just going to put the brakes on.
If it doesn't burn, right down the rail. If it doesn't burn all the grease, you're likely to cause a derailment.
That's right.
He's too slick. That slippery, greasy bastard.
Oh, he really is disgusting.
Oh my God.
Oh, I don't know enough of, go ahead.
You know, I think Larry Correa could hollow him out and use him as a disguise without stretching him.
Failing that, you could disguise him as a volcano and hide all of Team America World Police in him.
Ooh. I'm liking what you're thinking, Sean.
Oh, man.
That would just be his ass. With the vast hairiness, you know, like lush vegetation hanging over the crater rim. Oh. And then when it goes, no one wants to see or smell
Sean,
that.
Both Sean's. That was Michael Moore inside the Team America volcano in the movie.
So he's up his own ass. Big deal.
Oh, super meta.
Oh, man.
It's like a snake eating its own tail.
Oh, thanks for calling, Sean.
Yes, lads, have a good night.
Right. Magnificent Bye. Bastard.
Oh, God. Okay, Sean, so the other Sean. The far less interesting Sean.
Yeah, apparently.
Let's
like, quick, everybody call in so that ad asshole doesn't talk.
Yeah, well, okay, so tell us. I actually have listened to... I have to admit, I haven't listened to every episode of the...
You've listened to ones of episodes.
I have listened to several. And I actually like it because it's snippy. I mean, it's like little pieces. And that's kind of neat. Because I listen to a lot of podcasts when I drive. So I think that the timing works out well. But what made you decide to join the lucrative world of podcasting?
What got me started was there was a guy in the area who I had never heard of, and you know, he was on Twitter. He as Triangle Tactica, T A tactical. It doesn't even have the L at the end to be tactical on his podcast, you know, on his Twitter account. And he was interacting with me as I was, you know, getting, I was hammering people on Twitter. And then one day he's like, hey, would you let me interview you for my podcast? I'm like, okay, sure. So I was talking about current laws and, you know, laws that were they were trying to pass. And so he had me come over and he was just up the street from me. And after we did a podcast together on Triangle Tactical, he says, you know, you should him and his partner kept saying, yeah, you know, you should podcast. You should do a podcast. You should do your own podcast. And for a year, he's hassling me about when are you going to start a podcast? And one day I was talking about, well, you know, I have a microphone. And he says, well, I just happen to have this spare microphone. Why don't you borrow it? And I started using it and I thought, well, you know, maybe it would be fun to do a podcast. So I asked around who wanted to be on the podcast and ended up with a bunch of people who were like, well, I'd be interested, and assigned a bunch of, Harry, this is your topic and this is your topic. And mostly I just have to show up and ask reasonably intelligent questions, which luckily most of them are happy to supply me with the intelligent questions to ask.
That works out well.
Yeah.
So now the big question is, what were you drinking when you decided to send me the email for me to be on your podcast?
Oh, no. See, don't even try weird. You know that I've been saying for years that you and I should do a podcast.
Yeah. Because I'm awesome. I'm the talent.
Well, you know, it's interesting. What the hell happened to my mic? Anyway, I was going to say it's interesting because, you know, as a media thing, podcasting has kind of become the new thing, kind of like what blogs were back
right.
in. You know,
back before blogs died.
Back in the 2006, 2007-ish, maybe.
Back in the before time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alan remembers the names of the old gods.
Yeah, actually I do.
Well, that was a lot of bourbon.
Yeah. But you know, it's you know, for a long time, It was really hard to do podcasting because it was expensive. Because, you know, there, you know, but I'm talking pre iTunes here. I'm talking back when you paid for your bandwidth on your website, and my God, it was expensive. And nowadays, I mean, heck, I've got an unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage thing on HostGator that cost me like, I don't know, $15 a month.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah. And I don't get charged for bandwidth. I get charged for uploads. And
yeah.
I'm not going to overrun that. Jeez. No.
Yeah, exactly. You're just uploading it once.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it's been pretty interesting. I was interested to find out that the median podcast download number after 30 days of being online is 141 downloads. Can you imagine that? Like, you do a podcast and you get 141 downloads after 30 days of it being online. That's your downloads, and that's the median. So, you know, we're getting 800 in about that time, maybe a little bit less time. And that's, I mean, I guess that's like 75th percentile. That's insane. There's just so many podcasts.
Well, and frankly, a lot of them really suck.
Yeah, well, I can't help them. I don't have any help for them because I just let other people come up with the intelligent things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got five other people coming up with whole segments for me. I mostly don't have to think about it.
Well, that's the best way to be.
Yeah, I thought, you know, hey, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, if I recruit all these people to do their segments, then they will come up with all the intelligent stuff, and I don't have to think of anything, right? And what I traded for it was a whole lot of editing.
Yeah, you got the short end of the stick there. God, I hate editing.
And see, I've found that it's actually an interesting task for me. Is, you know, it's new, it's interesting, and I'm learning a lot. And it's visual now that, you know, you can, it's all digital. You got this little waveform. It's not that hard.
Yeah, but man, it's a pain in the ass.
It can be tedious, especially when Weird continually repeats like the same word three times. Or actually, no, it's like two or three words.
I don't do that ever. And it's not ever recorded on this podcast.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lie. That's a total lie. Who told you that? Was it Alan? Alan's a liar.
Yeah. It's actually a lot of fun. I'm I don't know who said it, but at one point somebody said, hey, the reason that blogs are cool is because you get to read other people be intelligent, and then you have that argument later. Like when somebody says something stupid, you've got that argument in your pocket because you read somebody else say it. And that's what it feels like to be the host of my podcast, because, you know, I've got five people who were talking about things that I may not understand. You know, I've not thought about prepping, you know, but here's how you do it without spending a lot of money. You know, I don't have to troll the anti-gun internet anymore because Weird does that. Because
I'm and, a sick person.
Seriously. I started blogging because of Joan Peterson. And oh my God, there was a point where I need to back away from this because just that much dealing with her crazy is driving me around the bend. And I don't have to anymore. Weird does that.
Well, somebody has to, and thank God Weird's there to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm not sure I tried, and it's just, no, you can't do it.
The really scary thing is it'll be like, you know, after this show gets out, I'll probably go over to I'll go over to YouTube and watch a couple of videos, and I'll be like, what if the antis have anything good? And I'll get legitimately pissed off when they don't. I'm like, come on, guys, put a little effort in. Like, there's a total dearth right now. Like, none of the antis are doing anything good right now.
Oh, yeah. Pissing we totally off. Need to talk about this right now going on, the shooting in Chapel Hill.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
This is something that I don't know if anybody's quite grasped yet, but the Chapel Hill shooting, the 911 call went in at 5:11 p.m., not yesterday, but the day before. So I get up in the morning at 5 o'clock. By 5:30, I got the leash on the dog, and I'm walking the 3 miles with her. And at 6:15, my phone vibrates, and I pull it out and look at it, and I've got this tweet, somebody repeating something to me, asking me basically, does North Carolina have the death penalty? And I'm trying to figure out why anybody would care at 6:15 in the morning on a freaking Wednesday, I think, or Tuesday. Wednesday? I don't know. Why does North Carolina have the death penalty? So I look, it's like Chapel Hill shooting. What the hell are they talking about, Chapel Hill shooting? And I go to the hashtag Chapel Hill shooting, and I start looking through it, and it's over and over and over again. Why is the mainstream media, or they don't say the mainstream media because they're leftist, but, you know, why is the national media, why is the American media, why is, you know, Fox News not covering all of these people who've, you know, they've been murdered. They're Muslims, and they're victims of this terrorism, this Christianist terrorist, and they're not covering it. What the hell are they talking about? Well, 5:11 p.m., the gunshots get reported to the police. How many hours does it take for them to figure out what the hell's going on? They've got the guy in custody, so it's not like they're going to be on the news saying, oh, my good, hey, we got to find this guy. You know, they've got everybody. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, I end up tracing back, and the farthest I've gotten back so far is that that they had a picture of these people posted, the three of them that got murdered, and the why is nobody covering this at 1 a.m. Well, they weren't even – the blood wasn't even dry yet. And they're like, why doesn't Fox News have this? It's because they're Muslim. They hate them. I'm thinking, where the hell did this come from? Because there was like – I mean, literally thousands of tweets. Why is the media not covering these poor Muslims who were murdered by the Christianist terrorist who, you know, turns out to be a rabid, screaming leftist atheist, you know, not a Christian. This is like what would happen if gun control was actually popular. Because you know how it is. Every time we have a shooting at a school, you know, we have something, some bad multi-person shooting, the gun grabbers, they jump on Twitter and they start screaming. And, you know, after – what was it? After the school shooting in Connecticut, it was like – it was crazy for a couple of days. And you're like, wow, that's a lot. And that could have gotten lost in this storm. I mean, like, you would not have even heard it. They don't exist because there are millions of Muslims around the world who are on Twitter and are going to push this. Oh, these Muslims were murdered in America by a crazy Christian person, and nobody's paying attention. And it's not even 6 hours after it happened, and they're pushing this meme, this hashtag that they've already got online. So I really think that what happened is exactly the same thing that happened with every mass shooting, is that, you know, they had this in their back pocket. They were ready to roll with it. They were just waiting for the incident to happen, and boom, they make up a hashtag and they start retweeting the crap out of it and getting it trending and everybody talking about it. And this is our meme. This is our statement. The statement is the media isn't paying any attention to this. Well, of course the media isn't paying any attention to it. You think Fox News has a freaking camera van sitting in the Durham County Sheriff's parking lot waiting for shit like this?
Especially when they already caught the guy.
Seriously. Durham County, North Carolina. I mean, by D.C. and New York standards, ass end of nowhere.
Yeah, I used to live in Greensboro. I know what you're talking about.
Hell, Greensboro is a bigger place than Durham.
Yeah, but
and three people shot to death in Durham?
Yeah.
Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is Greensboro is like mini Compton. I mean, it's the whole state is.
Well, Sean, that's the problem.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, Jay. I couldn't hear you.
Jay's cutting out.
That's the problem right there. There's only three. It doesn't rise to their level of mass shoot.
Well, it wasn't in a school either.
It doesn't matter.
And that is what's really funny to me about this. Funny, not funny, ha-ha, obviously, but funny, sad, is that we have a clear case. Normal people would consider it a major shooting. I mean, seriously, three people are dead. Three people appear to have been shot in the head. I mean, we're not talking like they got caught in the crossfire. You know, this does not look like it could possibly be anything other than some angry asshole murdering people. It is always possible that we will find out that there was some sort of self-defense. I mean, the guy's going to get a fair trial, I'm sure of that. But I don't see how it's possible to be anything other than what they're saying. And the anti-gunners are getting fucking run over by the Muslims. I mean, like, you can't hear the anti-gunners because they're trampled underfoot by the Muslims screaming, oh my God, nobody's paying attention to these poor Muslims who are murdered. When in fact, everybody's paying the fuck attention.
Do you think this is the, you know, because every time something happens, every time there's a suicide bomber, every time something happens, they go, you know, there's always this caveat that they throw out that's, you know, oh, it's not all Muslims. We're oh, now there's going to be an anti-Muslim backlash.
This is the response to I Am Charlie Hebdo. Straight up, this is what's going on. They saw people get legitimately angry about the Charlie Hebdo shooting, the Paris massacres, and they said to themselves at some point, look, we know sometime some Muslims are going to get killed, and if we can figure out how to turn it into a cause, we'll do that. And they set it up, and there's absolutely no way that many thousands of tweets were out in less than 12 hours after the first shots were fired. I mean, I didn't come into it at the beginning. Trust me on this. I came in at 6:15 and somebody tagged me in, and not only had it started, but the response, they had already found out at that point that it was not a Christian. It was a rabid atheist. It was somebody had woken up to the fact that they were pushing the Christian murders Muslim angle and had researched it, had found his Facebook page, and had found out exactly what kind of person he at least wanted to be looked at, you know, that he was looking at online. He was very clearly an atheist and an angry one, and had managed to write a story saying, and I came in after all of this had happened, and it was 6:15 in the morning when I got this tweet. It was 13 hours after the shots were fired. And can you imagine how much of a push it has to be so that this happened and the response to it, and I end up in it in the middle of a random tweet 13 hours later?
It does seem completely insane. It does seem unlikely.
Right. That's not unlikely. It's impossible if it hadn't been something that was planned beforehand. Now, they have absolutely – I would never say they had anything to do with the murder. That's not my point.
No, they were
my
just
point
waiting.
Is they were just sitting there waiting.
Yep.
As soon as this happens, we are going to go live with this. And the result is they bet the odds. Obviously, it's an American that did this. He must be a Christian. We can push this angle. Oops. And, you know, Bloomberg's minions, they can totally relate to that oops, can't they?
Yep.
Oh, you see it all the time. You see shortly thereafter of a mass shooting and suddenly there's a demonstration, you know, within, you know, 24 hours
against the Tea Partier,
where they've got professionally printed signs at their little rally.
Yep.
And it's one of those like, oh, what, they managed to get to the sign printer in time, and they drafted up the image of these signs, got them all printed, got them distributed to their members. No. They've got people waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. That are Trustafarians that have or actually in the case of like Bloomberg's things are, you know, people have been retired for the last 15 years. And
No, it's not just that. These are people that have this is their actual job. The person who's in charge of the Moms Demand action here in North Carolina, this woman's got a doctorate degree. She'd spent many years getting her doctorate. Then she worked as postdoc in some stupid ass freaking field here in North Carolina, and as that ramped down, she became one of the nine. There's like nine paid Moms Demand and Mayors Against Illegal Guns or whatever they happen to be called this week. There's nine paid activists in this state.
Wow.
And you can't tell me that this lady who has a PhD isn't getting paid somehow.
She's not the one that wrote that book, is she?
No, the one that wrote the book that you sent me is actually a lady who is a professor at Duke.
Okay.
She's mostly associated with North Carolinians Against Gun Violence, which would have been a States United Against Gun Violence, or, you know, Lad Everett type.
Joyce Foundation.
That actually, believe it or not, the lady that's running NCGV now was the state like a state volunteer coordinator or some kind of state coordinator for Moms Demand Action. So I think that NCGV saw that post in my blog a long time ago that Bloomy has bought NCGV out from under Lad Everett and whoever the other Oompa Loompa, the Oompa Loompa of gun control, whoever the hell he is. I'm too drunk to remember dumbass's name. Not that he's important.
All we know is he's very small.
I wonder if we'll ever get to the point where the anti-gun people are seen kind of as the same – at the same level as like the, you know, the UFO people or the Bigfoot people or the Chupacabra – you know, that kind of thing where they're just cranks. I mean right now, you know, you have 70, 80,000 people showing up for an NRA convention and you get eight people out protesting and the media surrounding the eight people.
Yeah. And see – In 24 hours, I personally put together a protest against Gabby Giffords's AstroTurf carpetbagger tour that was more people standing on the street than they had inside the building. I mean, I just put out some emails. You know, I put it out through Grassroots North Carolina. GRNC amplified it, but I had more people standing in the street than they had sitting around the table.
Yeah, but, you know, the only thing that keeps the media from dismissing them as the cranks they are is the fact that they agree with them.
Exactly. And it's very interesting running into the media. It's very difficult to just break through their preconceived notions. They believe what they read, and they believe themselves. I mean, they're not. I guess that makes them completely stupid.
Yeah,
but they're not. For the most part, the people with the cameras aren't. They're not lying. They actually believe that. And so it was pretty interesting standing on the street corner hammering this one guy. WRAL is the big station here in Raleigh, North Carolina. There's other stations, but the big one is WRAL. And I had this guy standing in front of me, and he kept telling me, no. They are just having their own meeting. I'm like, no, they said it's a round table with gun owners. Check your press release. Roundtable with gun owners. Roundtable, it says it right there on the press release. And if they wanted to talk to gun owners, hey, here we are. Why are we not invited? And I hammered him. And he kept arguing their side. But when he checked his press release, the report that he turned in and put out on TV and on the internet was so bad and hammered Gabby Giffords and her group so hard that the Gabby Giffords group called up WRAL and said, look, there's this one piece in there that is inaccurate and you need to pull it. And they had to pull it off the air. The majority of the piece was accurate. These guys were freaking lying. But there was one thing where they said that, you know, this thing was true, and it turned out that this one little piece was not true, and they managed to get it pulled. And it was incredible to watch these reporters, and they had the story in their head. And if you just hammer them hard enough and you play to their preconceived notions, there's always two sides to the story. Oh, here's your story, and then we need to look for the other side. Oh, here's the other side. And they would just go and run with it. Like, they would just, like, obviously, here's the other side of the story. We'll tell it. And boom, they, like – it was just that easy, and it all fell apart. And, you know, Gabby Giffords sure didn't come back to North Carolina, even though she went on a tour again. It was nuts. It was nuts. And you notice that tour, the original purpose of that tour was to go after senators that had voted against and were vulnerable, or senators had voted for the Manchin-Toomey and were vulnerable. And in North Carolina, we had the Democratic senator here, whose name escapes me in my drunkenness, who we got rid of and replaced with slightly less of a turd. And she had voted for Manchin-Toomey and was vulnerable. Well, did she show up? Was she anywhere near these people? No, she ran for the freaking hills like every other senator in every other state that Gabby Giffords went to.
Yep.
Okay, they're not stupid. Now, they're politicians, so they're not exactly intelligent, but they're not freaking dumb. They're not going to tie their wagon to an anchor and then chuck the anchor into the water. They're not dumb.
Nope.
So what did they all do? They ran away from this woman because they knew if they were associated with her, if they showed up to any of her stuff, if they let her say, hey, she's our man or he's our man, it was going to sink them like a freaking rock. And it was very interesting to see how that played out.
Speaking of news media, the only other thing we really have to talk about is the Ryan Williams, who Dan Rather said was a fine, upstanding man.
Well, thanks, Dan. Tie that anchor around my neck and throw it in. Why don't you?
There's Al Capone providing a character reference for John Dillinger.
And who the IRS will be receiving a tax return shortly, saying he's unemployed.
Oh,
yeah.
I like they showed up at the meeting with a dossier of Williams lies. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just a thing of beauty. They were like, "Yeah, go ahead, protest this, say something. We dare you."
I like how internally they're going over his expense report. That right there says that they're counting the silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things of the no, you're done, buddy.
Yeah, the 6-month suspension is going to turn into, you know what, you just go.
He's going to be podcasting.
It's not us.
He'll be podcasting.
Yeah.
It's actually going to turn into the whole like, oh, I've decided to seek other things. It's going to
spend more time with my family.
It's just like I was talking about my woes of the Massachusetts MBTA and. Yeah, and the
quit, yeah.
Yeah, she resigned, but let's face it, all the rattlings coming up to, it was one of those, hey, you can either hold on to your pension and disappear, or we can go through the paperwork and make you disappear.
and in Massachusetts, disappear might actually mean disappear.
It may actually mean be buried under 85 feet of snow.
It could happen.
Yeah. Fed into a snow.
Okay. Mountain. Now I got a Massachusetts question.
Okay.
I guess we're,
you got two people who can answer.
We didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on Brian Williams. That, I mean, it's just funny, but what else can you say?
We had to kick him when he was down.
Yeah. Okay. So apparently, and I was a little dumbfounded by this. So you're going to have to explain it to me. So Boston has run out of places to park the snow.
Yes.
Because they can't dump water into the ocean.
Yes. Because, oh my God, that snow is treated.
Because the snow also contains sand, gravel, and salt, which is what the ocean
is
made
of. Which is also in the ocean.
All that shit.
I don't understand.
And where do they think it goes? When you put it in a big fucking field 20 miles away, where do they think it goes? Magic? Magic carries it away to Vermont?
So.
Magic!
Magic! I don't get it.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could explain it
to
me.
See, this goes right back to the original call-in topic, the death matches, is yes. You were expecting leftists to have logical consistency.
Oh, I don't expect it at all.
Well, you are acting like that's possible.
That's a foil. Okay.
So the whole argument between that was the argument between the Michigan Women's Festival and the trans women is that this is what happens when lunatics attempt to be logically consistent.
It's impossible. Yeah, it's
no, it's not impossible. It's just it leads to the craziest of freaking outcomes. You know, if what you say is women are, you know, just by the nature of the patriarchy are oppressed and you're not allowed to, you know, wear a bra and call yourself oppressed like us. And so you can't come. That's what happens when crazy people attempt to be logically consistent.
Another very similar thing to this whole, like, you know, melting the snow and then putting it into a storm drain, which goes into the ocean. But don't you dare dump the snow directly into the ocean.
I don't. Yeah. It's yeah.
And also they're running snow melters. So they're burning some sort of fossil fuel
to
melt the snow, to dump it, put it into a storm drain, to dump it into the ocean.
There's your cage. There's your social justice warrior cage match. It's the anti-ocean polluting people versus the anti-air polluting people.
Well, on a similar line of it is, as I've stated before, I used to work in the commercial salmon industry, and that's one of those things that's loaded with boondoggles. And so on one side, you've got the people that said, well, we can't have farmed salmon in our waterway because some of the salmon escape. And these are a bred species. These are a domesticated salmon that are being raised for food fish. And we can't have them getting into the wild population and contaminate.
Wait. Let me stop you there. Domesticated salmon?
They're a livestock species. This is no different than if somebody raises rabbits for food. If you've got a commercial rabbit farm, the bunnies that are hopping around outside the rabbit farm are a completely different genetic makeup than those because they're bred.
It's a fish.
Oh, I understand it's a fish, Alan. So that's silliness right there. But there is some truth between it. It's European strains mixed with American strains, mixed with this, mixed with that. You know, there's even a few. There's
Frankenfish.
There's even GMO fish. GMO
Monsanto.
Oh, no.
They fucking exist, and I will say right to effect, they're goddamn delicious.
And social justice death match right there. Anti-GMO versus anti-vaxxer.
Oh, God.
Ooh. Who can have the most faux science in one ring? Monsanto, they're genetically modified. Here's a newsflash. Everything you eat is genetically modified, you fucking nitwit.
Your dog is genetically modified.
fucking food item we have is genetically modified. It has been for the past 500 fucking years, if not longer.
Okay.
It's a newsflash. When they cross two different breeds, that's genetic modification, you fuck.
Yeah, more like 3,000 years. But But yeah, so on one side they say we can't let these fish that are living in pens out in the ocean escape because they might breed with the local group and contaminate the genetics of the local salmon. At the same time, we also can't have industry on these rivers that the salmon traverse because as the salmon swim downstream, they imprint on on the chemicals of the water so they can swim back upstream to the ponds so they can spawn because salmon can only breed in fresh water. Right. Now, how in the blue fuck is a domestic species of salmon that's raised in well water on land, filtered well water nonetheless, on land, and then dumped directly into the ocean, going to swim up a fucking river?
It can't.
Either one side is full of shit or the other side is full of shit, or more than likely they're both full of shit.
I guess the fish could be lucky.
Yeah, come on now. You know they're both full of shit. Yeah.
Yes, they are both full of shit. And again, dumping the salt, sand, and gravel treated snow, which is made of water, salt, sand, and gravel, into the ocean, which is made of water, salt, sand, and gravel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but there might be some trash in there. And hey, guess what? I used to sit on a pier drinking beers and throw the cans into the water.
You know what else is in the ocean?
Pee.
Lots of poop and lots of pee.
Old boat parts.
Did I mention I used to drink beer on a pier? Guess what? Yeah.
You ever been swimming and you swim through that warm spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the fish pee.
Yeah.
No, that's rye pee.
You know,
technically, fish are cold-blooded, so therefore their piss is the same temperature as the water around them. That warm
don't mess
spot
up
was,
my joke, weird.
That warm spot was me.
It was weird.
All right, it's 10:30, folks. Yeah.
Well, I got one more thing. It's just weird forced me into this because he brought up the stupid
Weird's
thing.
Wrong about District 9.
Okay.
Avatar
one
was
my,
great.
One of my favorite stupid things is the people that claim to be allergic to Wi-Fi or RF in general.
Ooh. I've missed that one, Alan.
Yeah. There's apparently in somewhere in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't know where the fuck it is, there's a town where there's a giant radio telescope. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, the surrounding area is like an RF free zone where there's like no cell phones, no TV or anything like that. And these people are going there because the RF makes them feel bad. And they're trying to get away from RF. And, they don't realize that everything above 0 degrees Kelvin constantly gives off RF. Human beings emit more RF energy than a Wi-Fi access point does.
Well, it's kind of like the people that used to use the hands-free set because they were worried that talking directly into their cell phone would give them a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Brain cancer.
Except for they're talking to a fucking tower that's talking back.
Yeah.
So even if you're not talking on the cell phone, you're eating as much radiation as if you're talking to a cell phone. Because that cell phone tower's also talking directly to your head saying, are you a cell phone? And your head responds, no, I'm a piece of meat.
No cell phones here.
Oh, man.
You know what
they walk out in the sun and absorb, 100 watts per square meter or something like that.
Yeah, you know what's directly correlated with how likely you are to be allergic to peanuts? It's how white and rich you are. The whiter and richer you are, the more likely you are to be allergic to peanuts.
No, that's true. Adam Carolla had a huge thing about there's this African famine solution that's a super duper processed, protein packet that's designed for – because, of course, I mean they – You heard about it, most in popular culture from the people that the U.S. troops that liberated Dachau. They were handing out to the poor starving Jews and other poor unwanteds from the Third Reich. They were handing out their MREs
say, well, they weren't MREs.
Well, yeah, they're iron rations. Yeah. They were giving them food, going, geez, these guys are starving here.
Yeah.
Have some food. And it killed them. And so a guy developed a protein rich, you know, processed food that could be fed to starving people and not kill them and start building their weight back up, called Plumpy Nut. It's based off of peanut. And Adam Carolla had an interesting statement going, huh, isn't it odd that these starving African children aren't getting wiped out by the thousands? I mean, my daughter loves peanut butter sandwiches, but she ain't allowed to have one at school because that'll kill people graveyard dead. And yet, oddly enough, you can just give out this stuff by the caseload and it'll save thousands of African lives and nary be a single death.
Seriously, it's one of those freaking – it's like Munchausen syndrome by proxy, you know. Look at my poor – you know, everybody pay attention to me. Everybody, you know, everybody change your lifestyle to suit my poor child who will die if peanuts are anywhere near them.
It's 95%
of it's bullshit.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, I keep telling my mother there's a reason why I'm allergic to dust. My mom's house is spotless.
Yeah, she was a clean freak. There's not a dust bunny anywhere.
There's a great joke of I was walking through a department store with my mom, and I looked down under the clothes rack, and there was a big old dust pony sitting underneath the clothes rack, you know, right in the middle where the mops won't reach it. And I went, Mom, is that dust? And a bystander went, oh my God, I'd like to live in your house, because I'd never seen a dust pony in my life. And that's the whole thing. And oddly enough, I am fucking allergic. Well, I'm not anymore because I had the shots, but before that, I was allergic to dust.
Yeah, I think it was very recently there was a story where somebody was saying, well, you know, where do we find concentrations of people who are not getting their shots? They're not getting their vaccinations. And the doctor's like, well, you know, just stick a pin in the map everywhere you find a Whole Foods. And the guy's like, ha ha ha, now tell me the truth. He's like, no, I'm being serious.
Yep.
Yeah. But again, the whole thing is this whole like anti-peanut thing is there's even pediatricians are recommending you go X number of months, you know, or years that a child's alive before you even give them peanuts. And just, I mean, the longer you keep them away from something like that, the sooner it'll be, the body will go, what the hell is this?
Seriously. Here's some peanuts. Did you die? No. Then you're not going to eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I was allergic to milk, and I was allergic to processed sugar. And eventually, I'm lactose intolerant, which is a completely different problem. But I can drink milk, and I can have sugar, just not huge amounts of it. But there was an actual effect that you could see. It wasn't just my parents being like, oh my God, let's make everybody on the planet stop doing something. Because it wasn't like other people drinking milk was going to kill me.
Exactly.
And these peanuts people are like, no, you're not allowed to eat peanuts.
Yeah, I've never understood that, how nobody can eat peanuts because somebody in the building might have a peanut allergy.
Well, it's so fucked up. A friend down the street from my house, I mean, I knew him since he was teeny weeny weeny. And he was born with a peanut allergy, and he would say he'd be over at my parents' house and they would, you know, it'd be lunchtime and they're like, oh, here, have some lunch. And he would ask them as they set the plate in front of him, are there peanuts in this? And of course my parents knew his parents since he was born. They knew his problem, but he was trained that if somebody that isn't mom and dad puts food in front of you, you ask them if there's peanuts in it.
Well, we can't have children having responsibility.
Exactly. And we're talking like he was like six, when he had the full-fledged survival instinct to make sure that he did not go into anaphylaxis at my parents' house.
Seriously.
You know, just do it that way. If you're the kid that has the peanut allergy, guess what? You're the fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of people I know and love who are allergic to peanuts, and there's no problem with that. But you have to do the different thing.
Yep. Hey, your problem, you figure it out.
You know what? It's time to quit.
No, we can keep going.
Actually, we could. Except I have to get up and go to work in the morning. And
yeah, and I'm getting close to sobering up here.
Yeah, oh, well, I need to go
make sure my son actually goes to sleep tonight. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, thanks for joining us, Sean. It's been great.
Hey, ask me back anytime. I'll be here.
We will. We will take you up on that. And I told everybody it'd be a really great shoe, and damned if it wasn't.
Did you say shoe?
When yeah. half an hour shoe. Over.
You know,
this is the best shoe ever. Best Radis, shoe ever. Make an image out of that.
Yep, but I guess you're gonna have to when you put this out. It's gonna be special guest, other guy, also ran oh, Sean, yeah. just sort of holding the fort down
in the man versus holder, and some other dude from South Carolina.
Some fucking blog.
I have read Traction Control's blog since he started that thing. And I had no idea that that's who Mance was in the lawsuit. I didn't know. I had no idea. How did I miss that?
You caught me with that. I did the whole off-roster, you know, handgun thing, and then he went Traction Control, and I went, oh, that's where I got. Yeah.
Holy shit! I know that guy. Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, so, and I would be a terrible plaintiff because of all the crap I've said online.
Oh yeah, well.
I'd be a terrible plaintiff just for the vicious circle.
Alan Gura knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah.
He's playing the long game.
Yep.
And it's not just guns.
That long game is going to be, we've gotten drunk with the Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
Ooh. We have pictures.
You know, hey. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week without Jay, but hopefully with Brita.
Sorry. Where are you going, Jay?
I will be... at the airport. Back from Oregon.
Ooh. What gun will you be shooting while you're in Oregon?
I have no idea, but it will have a Crimson Trace laser on it. So
make sure to stop by and see Balder Odinson.
Oh yes, please find him and give him a big hug and say hi from all of us.
I don't think he'll be anywhere near the places I'm going.
His alter ego Jason Kilgore will be there. Totally different guy.
Better, Jason Kilgore.
Oh man. All right. Good night, everybody.
All right, y'all.
Bye.